We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Take your Bibles, please, and find Ephesians chapter 5. Very familiar territory if you are a student of the New Testament, because these are verses that the child of God comes to often for strength, encouragement, and admonition. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But now notice the next injunction. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, if he said give thanks always, that would be acceptable. We would find that perhaps easy. But when he says giving thanks always in all things or for all things, then that makes it a little difficult. You know, we're supposed to thank God all times for all things. And very frankly, sometimes I don't feel very grateful or very thankful. And yet, we as God's children are to thank Him all the time and to thank Him for everything. Well, that brings up some real questions. There's some very bad things. Worse than bad, there's some horrific things that happened to the child of God. Sickness, sorrow, disappointment, death, divorce, abuse, murder, rape, mayhem. All of these things happen, and the child of God is not immune to being a victim in some of these things. Now, that brings up a very interesting question. Why does God allow these things? And how can we possibly give God thanks always and for all things according to Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Let me suggest some factors that you need to take into consideration. Then perhaps you'll understand why God has given us this command. The very first factor that I want to mention is the sin factor. We ask ourselves this question, why do things like this happen? And I want to tell you very frankly that we live in a world that is cursed with sin, and therefore it is filled with sorrow. We might ask this question, why would a child, for example, be born with a birth defect? Or why would perhaps a mother who wants a child so much miscarry? What about a person in the prime of life who is cut down with cancer? How do we account for that? I mean, if God is a good God, and God is a righteous God, how do we account for that? Well, remember this. Planet Earth bears a curse because of sin. And our bodies, our mortal bodies, bear a curse because of Adam's sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 says that we are by nature the children of wrath. That is, we are born into this world with the nature of Adam. The Bible says Romans 5:12, by one man, that is by Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And every one of us have in our hearts, in our lives, in our bodies, the seed of sin, and as a result, we're going to die. Every person sitting here tonight has a terminal illness. We're going to die if Jesus does not come first. You read in your Bible about Adam. Adam lived to be 930 years, and then he died. And then Seth lived to be 912 years, and he died. Then we read that Enoch lived 905 years, and he died. And mankind begins to live less and less and less because of the ravages of sin upon human nature and upon this machine that God crafted so wonderfully. Now today, if you live to be over 100 years of age, you are a marvel and people say, oh, this individual is over 100 years of age. Now, folks, you are headed for trouble. Sooner or later, your body is going to wear out. A pastor was visiting a woman who was very much up in age, and she was having the difficulties that come with age, and she was feeling sorry for herself. And she said to the pastor, "Pastor, can you tell me why I'm suffering so?" She was looking for a philosophical answer. He said, "Yes, ma'am, I can." She said, "Oh, please, Pastor, tell me." He said, "You're getting old." You're getting old. And folks, our bodies just simply wear out. Now, here's what the Bible says in the book of Job, Job chapter 14, verse 1, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." You're not going to live a long time, and the days you live are going to be full of trouble. Now, if you got here any other way except being born of a woman, you're excused. But according to this verse, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And so we bear in our bodies the ravages of sin brought about by the failure of Adam. But it's not only humankind that bears this, but all of nature has a curse on it. Romans 8, verse 21 says this, "The creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption." So creation right now is in the bondage of corruption. Floods, volcanoes, tornadoes, all of these things happen because nature itself has a curse upon it. And whether you're saved or lost doesn't make any difference, because the Bible says that God makes it to rain upon the just and the unjust. So when you see problems in nature, and when you have problems in your own body, you have to understand that this is not the world that God created it to be. This is a world that has been marked by sin. M.R. DeHaan II was watching television when there was an earthquake in Mexico, and they were showing the devastation of the earthquake, and down there in the bottom was the signature of the network that was showing the news. It said, courtesy, S-I-N. Now, that stood for Spanish International Network. But he said, "This earthquake is brought to you courtesy of sin." And that's true. We need to understand that our world is cursed, and we, our bodies, are cursed. But we can take hope and we can thank God in the worst of circumstances. If we know the Lord, if we are saved, God is going one day to undo that. Romans 8, verse 21, "Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." It's going to happen. One of these days, the lamb and the lion will lie down together. One of these days, the desert will blossom as a rose. One of these days, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters that cover the sea. That is a promise from Romans chapter 8 that this creation is going to be delivered from corruption. So in the midst of it all, I can thank God that one day He's going to make it different. Now, here's a second factor you need to understand or think about when you suffer and when you don't feel thankful. Not only the sin factor, but the chastisement factor. If you're having difficulty, and if bad things are happening to you, what you assume to be bad things, it just may be that you're under the chastening hand of Almighty God. Put down this scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. And it asks this question, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Now, the scourge was a very vicious whip, a cat of nine tails. It's not talking about light punishment here. It's talking about severe punishment. He goes on to say, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, if you're suffering, it may be because God is chastising you. That doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. It means that He does love you. He loves you too much to let you get away with sin, and He will therefore chastise you. He is dealing with you as with a son. There are three kinds of judgment. God judges us as sinners, God judges us as sons, and God judges us as servants. He judges us as sinners at the cross, and Jesus took our judgment there. He judges us as sons with chastisement. He will judge us as servants, as stewards, at the judgment seat of Christ. But if God takes you to the woodshed, as it were, and God has to chastise you with the whip of chastisement, thank God. In this, give Him thanks, because number one, it proves that He loves you. Number two, it will exercise the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto those that are exercised thereby. So obviously, you ought to thank Him. Now, here's a third factor that you need to consider when you don't feel thankful. Not only the sin factor that God one day is going to make right, not only the chastisement factor, but there is the dependency factor. God sometimes allows us to have problems to cause us to depend upon Him. The song we used to sing, "If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know He could solve them." And so God allows us to have problems to bring us to Him. I read a book by Dr. L.E. Maxwell entitled Crowded to Christ. Crowded to Christ. And the premise of that book is God gives us problems so as to crowd us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you a scripture that deals with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. The Apostle Paul tells how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul went up to heaven, into paradise. God gave him a vision. He saw things there that God said, "It is a sacred secret. Don't tell anybody." I've often wondered why God didn't want it told. I think we'd get so homesick for heaven if we knew all that's in heaven, we'd get careless when we crossed the street. God said, just keep it a secret. And then He goes on to say, "Of such a one will I glory." That is, He said, I'm glorying in the vision that God gave me. But now listen, "Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." Now, Paul said, I'm not going to glory in me. The only thing I'm going to glory in is the infirmity or the weakness that I have. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Paul said, I don't want you to think that I am some sort of a spiritual plutocrat, some big shot. And then he goes on to say, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul said, I have a malady. I have an infirmity. He called it a thorn in the flesh. Now, it's not a thorn like roses have thorns. The Greek word is a stake. Spiritually, he had a stake driven through his heart, something that was very painful. And he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, it doesn't mean, "Lord, take it away, Lord, take it away, Lord, take it away." He means he had three extended sessions of fasting and prayer and seeking the face of God. "Lord, take this thing from me." And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake." Now, could you say that? Listen to that list again. When you don't feel thankful, listen to this. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities," that's sickness, "in reproaches," that's people criticizing and carping, "in necessities," that's doing without things, "in persecutions," that's being harmed or put into prison, beaten, "in distresses," that is where there's no way out, for Christ's sake. He said, I take pleasure in this, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, we have weaknesses, and we might as well admit our weaknesses. Number one, because it's a fact. Number two, it's an asset. Your weakness is an asset when it brings you to Jesus Christ, when it helps you to depend upon Him. The thorn was given ultimately from God, even though Satan was the messenger. And where Satan rules, God overrules. And our place of weakness can be our place of strength. And when these things happen, if they bring us to Christ, then we thank God for them. Now here's a fourth factor. I said there's the sin factor. We need to thank God even in sin because He's going to overcome it. I said, secondly, there is the chastisement factor. If God is chastening us, it's because He loves us and He wants to work out holiness in us. There's the dependency factor. If God allows us to have difficulties and not to depend upon our own strength, but to show us our weakness that we might depend upon Him, then thank God for it. Now, here's a fourth thing that ought to cause you to thank God in time of trouble, and it is the maturity factor or the learning factor. When you have difficulty, when bad things happen to good people, you will learn more during those times than you will learn in the good times. I want to ask you a question. Think of the best, happiest, and holiest time you had when everything was just going wonderful. Let me ask you this question. How much did you learn? Now think of the greatest, darkest night that you ever went through. How much did you learn? You learn so much more in those times of sorrow than you ever learned in times of joy. You know it is true. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I have kept thy word." Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, if affliction causes me to learn, then I've got to thank God for it. You see, what are God's priorities for me? Health? Not necessarily. Wealth? Not necessarily. Service? Not necessarily. Usefulness? Not necessarily. What is God's plan for me? To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." Well, what is His purpose? Well, listen to it. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's God's purpose for you, to be like Jesus. And if affliction causes you to be like Jesus, if you learn through these things, if you're made mature through these things, then you can thank God for it. The goal of God in my life is Christ's likeness. Someone wrote these words, "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from sorrow when sorrow walked with me." And so if there's a learning factor there, even though it's not good, we can thank God for it. Now here's the fifth factor I want you to think about when you don't feel like giving thanks. And it is the patience factor. When bad things happen to you, things that are inexplicable, could it be that God is just simply working patience in you? All of us need to learn the Christian grace of patience. Listen to Psalm 27 in verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." James chapter 1 and verse 4. "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now you and I need to learn patience. Now the word patience here does not mean the ability to work an intricate puzzle or to thread a needle. The word patience here is a Greek word which means to bear up under suffering and pain. And God wants us to learn patience because patience is one of the Christian virtues. And you don't learn about patience by reading it in a book. Now, sometimes we say when we're in difficulty, why doesn't God do something? Has it ever dawned on you that God might be doing something, and that is teaching you patience? And that's what God is doing by not doing anything else. You'll never learn anything worthwhile without patience. You'll not learn how to play the piano if you're a pianist without patience, without endurance. If you're a student of the languages, you're not going to learn Greek verbs without patience. You're not going to learn sainthood without patience. There is no such thing as instant maturity. And we need to learn patience. And so if God is teaching us patience, and patience is a Christian virtue, should we not thank God when we're enduring trials? And tribulation worketh patience. And so when we have tribulation and it's working patience in us, and that's one of the things that God worked in my life that I had to learn. And I don't want to take the lesson again, but I've had to learn patience, to wait upon the Lord. Now here's a sixth factor that you need to consider when you don't feel grateful, and it's the ministry factor. Has it ever dawned on you that the things that happen to you that don't seem good may happen to you to enable you to minister to other people? Let me give you this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, God gives us comfort in order for us to comfort somebody else. Now, God can't give you comfort unless you need comfort, and you can't need comfort unless you have trouble. But when you have trouble, God gives you comfort. God shows mercy. Then you have learned a lesson that you can use and pass on to somebody else. This verse tells us that God is the source of all comfort. It tells us that God comforts us in all our tribulation. It tells us that He comforts us to make us a comfort and a blessing to others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I've seen Joyce comfort women time after time again who've lost a baby because we've lost a baby. And I've seen pastors read verses and give little homilies and little outlines like I'm giving tonight, and that would not touch their heart. But I've seen Joyce share and put her arm around this person and say, I know how you feel, and I know the comfort that God has given me, and to pass that comfort on to somebody else. There is the ministry factor. Men throw broken things away. I don't think God ever uses anything until He first breaks it. And so that might be the reason that if you're having difficulty and tribulation, that you ought to give God thanks. Now here's the next reason. I'm almost finished. But here's the next reason, and it is the glory factor. Somehow, in some strange way, when we suffer and yet keep praising God, it gives God glory. Now, let me give you the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now, He called them beloved, and He told them they were going to have a fiery trial, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Ever so often when we have difficulty, we say, how could this happen to me? I'm a preacher. I'm a minister of music. I am a choir member. I am a deacon. I tithe. I live for God. How could this fiery trial happen to me? Peter said, hey, don't think it strange, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And then listen to verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He's evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. When you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to get you into trouble. I found that out. Now, if you want the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory to rest upon you, then you're going to have to be willing to have these troubles come your way. I read in the Bible where Stephen was stoned for his faith, but I also read that his face shone like the face of an angel. That is, the glory of God was all over him. God did not deliver him from that trouble. God allowed him to go through that trouble, and the glory of God was upon him. The glory of God was on those three Hebrew children when they went through the fiery furnace. And that king looked in there and he said, why, look, I put three in there, and now there's a fourth man in the fire, and he looks like the Son of God. God got glory when His people walked through a fiery furnace. Now, I like for God to deliver me when I'm in trouble. It's one thing to be delivered and praise God for it. It's another thing to be in a fiery furnace and not be delivered and to praise God for it. And I tell you, that takes more faith and gives God more glory. And if God is being glorified in my life, even though I may be being persecuted, can I not thank God that He is being glorified in my life, even if I don't feel thankful. Now, here's the final reason I want you to think about why sometimes bad things happen to good people and why we ought to look at those, quote, bad things and give God praise, the things that we call bad. Now, I've mentioned many things. You say, Pastor Rogers, none of those things satisfies me. You don't know the heartache. You don't know the trial. You don't know the difficulty that I'm going through. And none of the things that you've mentioned satisfy my mind. That may be true. So I put this last factor there, and it's the mystery factor. The mystery factor. Friend, you may not know. You may not understand. None of these other seven factors that I have mentioned may apply to you at all. But we must understand that God is a sovereign God, and God is bigger than any of us can imagine. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Listen to these verses. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Never make the mistake of saying, "If I were God, I would do thus and such." You're not God. You don't even have a scintilla of an iota what God is up to and what God is about. The Apostle Paul said, "Oh, how unsearchable is the way of God, the mind of God." And again, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God." Dr. Warren Wiersbe has rightly told us, we do not live by explanations. We live by promises. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And there are times when we say, "God, you owe me an explanation." And it's all right to ask for an explanation, but it is never right to doubt God's wisdom, God's love, or God's goodness. If God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you on the cross, you never have to doubt His love again. There may be a mystery factor. You may not be able to understand why this thing is happening to you, but trust God, obey God, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of the consequences. Trust God. Real faith is not primarily receiving from God what we want, but it is accepting from God what He gives. And there may be a mystery factor. You may never in this world figure it out, but you know that God is sovereign, and someone has wisely said, where we cannot trace His hand, we can trust His heart. He is good and faithful, and so thank Him and praise Him anyway. I mentioned those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They were told to bow down before that pagan idol, or they would be cast into that fiery furnace. They said, "King, we don't even have to think about it. We're not careful to answer you. We're not going to worship your idol. Our God is able to deliver us, and if not, we're still not going to worship your idol." Now, He didn't say if He's not able, that is, if He doesn't deliver us. They knew He was able. He is able. It already said that. But even if He doesn't deliver us, we're not going to worship your idol. We may not understand it. He may turn us to bacon. He may just get us cremated here today, but that's all right. We'll go into that fire praising our great God. I'm telling you, folks, day by day, regardless of what happens, give Him thanks. It may be that you're in a situation you'll not get out of until you begin to give thanks. I needed to go to Florida. Mars Mills had a motorhome. I wish he still had it, but Rascal sold it. But anyway, he had a motorhome. He said to me, "Pastor, why don't you just take the motorhome, you and your family, going down there to Florida?" I said, "Well, Mars, that's wonderful." And then he said, "Here's a credit card to buy gasoline with." I said, "Well, that's more than wonderful." So I'm going down there to Florida in this motorhome, and I get, you know, 200 or 300 or 400 miles away, and that motorhome begins to sputter and spark and burp and gurgle, and got slower and slower and slower, was losing power and losing power and losing power, and finally it would just go about 15 or 20 miles an hour. I said, "Well, now here I am with a motorhome, and it's not mine, and I can't make it work, and I'm not a mechanic, and I don't know what to do." And so I began to pull in different service stations and different automobile agencies, and they said, "We don't work on those things, or we're closed, or we don't have time, or you'll have to wait 2 or 3 days or whatever." And I was getting more and more irritated and wondering what kind of a friend Mars was anyway, give me an old motorhome like that. And so anyway, I went from one place to another, and finally the thing I felt, I couldn't drive it another half a block. It just would move. And we pulled into a shopping center there. And I have the lid off that thing looking down at the motor. I don't know hardly a spark plug from a crankshaft. And I'm looking down at that thing, and my dear, sweet, precious wife said, "Have you thanked God?" Pow! I mean, that's the last thing I wanted to hear. "Have you thanked God?" I said, "No, I haven't thanked God." She said, "Why don't you thank God?" And I said, "That's exactly what I need to do." And I bowed my head and I said, "God, I want to thank you. I'm here in somebody else's motorhome. We're stranded. It won't run. I don't know how to fix it. Nobody will fix it. I don't know what to do. Thank you." Just thanked him. And then I said, "No, that wasn't right. Lord, I really do thank you." And I thanked him. Right after I thanked him, I mean immediately, I looked over there and there was a tire changing place and a couple of guys over there changing tires. It wasn't a garage, it wasn't a mechanic's garage at all. They just installing tires. And I said to those two men, I said, "Would you fellas come over here and start this motorhome?" They walked over there. The guy looked in there. He took the thing apart. He did something. He took a screwdriver of his back pocket and went, "Doop, doop, 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 doop." He said, "That'll do it." I said, "No, you got to be..." No, he said, "That's done it." Began to roar, moving perfectly. I still don't know exactly what he did. He may have been an angel for all I know. But I mean, I'd had mechanics from this garage and that garage look at it. Right after I thanked God, I mean immediately after thank God, I took out my billfold and I took out a wad of bills. I said, "Here, man." He said, "I don't want you to pay me." I said, "Listen, I want you to take it. You don't know how happy you've made me." And I said, "Sir, God bless you. Thank you for what you've done." Now, I'd like to tell you that when you're in difficulty, if you begin to praise God, that it'll work out that way all the time. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you this much. You will enjoy life a lot better if you learn to thank God. Even when you don't understand. And it just may be that God is not about to get you out of your circumstance until you have enough faith and enough love to sincerely say, "Thank you, Lord. I don't know why, I don't know how, but I know who, that you are sovereign God. And in the midst of this sorrow, in the midst of this difficulty, I give you thanks even when I don't feel like it." Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it's such a blessing to us. And help us, Lord, to give thanks always for all things, because you're such a wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this: "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment. But you died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask you to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. And help me to live for you from now on. Amen." And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.